Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
Grant and Danny, 106.7 The Fan. Hilarious to me that, and maybe I'm the only one, like, I don't think you'll find this funny. I can be watching TV, and it'll be games, it'll be whatever it is, all night long, and my dog will show no interest. She's like running around, playing with toys, chewing on a bone, sitting on the couch, whatever. As soon as I put a dog show on TV or anything with dogs on it, she gets all in. And they don't even have to be barking. Like last night, I've got a picture up on Instagram of her like at the TV, pawing at the TV because she saw like a pug trying to win this like Westminster dog show or whatever it was. I wasn't even home. My wife was sending me the pictures. I was at Bethesda's NBC Sports Washington for Caps coverage. But dogs love dog shows. It's the best way to entertain a dog. Just have a recording of a dog show, put it on TV, and let them go crazy.
I was reading an article during the commercial break because she showed me the picture. It actually is like amazing. I didn't know dogs could see that. I remember growing up thinking being told dogs can't really see TV the way we do, not understanding the exact limits of that.
Yeah, they definitely can't see like we see. There's no doubt.
Right. So they
see something.
Well, what I just read was that their vision is dichromatic, whereas we're trichromatic, meaning we can see all the colors. They can only see in a different spectrum. I thought they couldn't even make out the images and just would hear a sound or something to know. But this National Geographic article basically said a great way to calm a dog down is like to have some sort of dumb video of like a dog sleeping in a field. You know what I mean? So your dog will notice it and it'll calm the dog down.
Never thought about that. That's what you needed to get your neighbors with those dogs that were keeping you awake.
Oh, man.
By the way, whatever happened with that? Did they just start sleeping or something?
I don't know. The second dog that was causing all the problems was we're just watching it for a friend kind of thing. That went away after a couple weeks. Their giant, super heavy clawed dog that makes terrible noise on our ceiling, their floor, only every once in a while comes up. It's now like they're never home. I don't know what's going on. Their schedule has changed. I haven't had to go up there in months, which is great. So I'll take that.
Second hour of four underway. He's Danny. I'm Grant. And this is The Fan. We'll have Craig Hoffman on the show, our Redskins beat reporter, coming up at 11:30. Get you the latest on some of their free agency plans, the fact that there's no update right now on Preston Smith getting a contract. And also, what are they thinking about quarterback with Kyler Murray having now committed to play in the NFL, or as Mike Francesa called him yesterday, the little quarterback. Apparently, he's debating between baseball and football.
After the announcement, by the way, Francesa said he's still talking baseball. He may be in the mix. After the announcement.
That was his exact quote, by the way.
After
he's
the announcement
about
that said,
some baseball.
I'm focused on football.
He may be in the mix. That's how you know you just didn't prep for that sentence at all.
Let me send it to you, Tommy. It's good.
We can play that a little bit later on for sure. We like that. I like talking about old Mike Francesa. But let's wrap up our Bryce Harper discussion. So the odds out right now on five potential teams for him. Giants number one, Padres number two, Phillies number three, Dodgers fourth, and Nats fifth. Here's my list. Here's my odds. This is not a sports book. This is not Bet Online. This is not Bovada. This is the Jeepsies, okay? This is my odds on where Harper ends up.
All right.
Ready? Number one, the Philadelphia Phillies. I will be very surprised if it's not there. Number two, I have moved the San Francisco Giants ahead of the Washington Nationals.
You moved them up.
Narrowly. I will put them second. Number three, the Nationals. Number four, the Padres. Number five, the Dodgers. Number six, the White Sox. Which of those rankings, if any, do you take umbrage with? What do your rankings look like?
So you go Phillies 1, Giants 2, Nationals 3?
Correct.
That's my order as well.
Dodgers 4, Padres 5, and then the White Sox.
I've got the Dodgers lower. I just don't think he—I think he wants to do, the Harper camp, the iconic deal, which means length and money.
Agreed. I don't think he's getting that from the Padres, though. So I think you're either taking less and signing with the Padres, or you just say, you know what, we'll do this again at 30 and hope that the market's fixed itself by then.
Right, and that's what I don't think he wants to do. I don't think they want to do that. That's how the Dodgers— to me, would be in.
But would he be willing to do that if the Padres aren't offering anything close to what he wants long-term? He's not going to sign a 10-year deal and lock into something that is nothing like what he expected to get.
Meaning, he's not doing 10 and 200.
Exactly.
Right.
Which, maybe it's not that low, but if the Padres, let's say, and this is all speculative, if they're going 10 and 250 and everyone else is closer to 10 and 300, I think he could go 4 and 35 to the Dodgers before he went 10 and 250 or something like that, because he's not getting the record. I think he'll view that as a big fat L.
Yeah, that is an L. I'm still taking that 10 and 300 number, which is the only report we've had. And some people have said, nah. Some people have said that's not actually the case. I don't know. That's the number I'm working off of, just assuming that more than that is out there somehow. It took a roundabout way to get there. But if that's not the case, if everything is less than that, then he might take that short-term deal.
I'm not happy that this is where we are. I'm not proud of the fact that in 2019 this qualifies as news.
But I hate this.
Social media, name of the game at this point. And we've got a little update and a little development on how Harper's feeling about D.C. Tom Wilson was meeting with the media. I believe this was yesterday. Somebody passed this along to me. It was on the Channel 4 news last night. They had it as the sports update. Tom Wilson talking about Bryce Harper. Listen to this development.
I know a couple of us got the unfollow the other day, so I don't know if that's... writing on the wall or what, but you know, he's been a leader in this city for a long time, and I know he kind of jumped cap ship with the Vegas bandwagon there where he's from, but it's always been fun, and I'm sure he's just going to make the best decision for him and, you know, for his family and his future.
So if he starts following Claude Giroux or yeah. Joe Thorne, we got some problems.
Yeah, I know he always keeps it pretty tight, but yeah, it's that'll be a hint for sure if that ever happens.
Tom Wilson on Bryce Harper in the Caps dressing room morning skate yesterday. Why would Bryce Harper unfollow a bunch of the Capitals if he's not about to no longer be in Washington, D.C.?
I don't know, man.
I mean, you could be dismissive and pat me on the head if you want
not.
To, but I'm asking
just,
a real question.
I know. I just don't know the answer. Honestly,
would there be any reason for him? He follows all these guys that play in Washington, D.C. If one thing I do, I'm just telling you how I operate. When I got off the Redskins beat, I unfollowed all the Redskins. I had to follow a bunch of players so that I knew
the news, right?
Yeah, what they were saying, what they were doing, what they were up to. And if they said something stupid, you were following them. Some of them you have to, you know, they have protected tweets. So you have to be
approved or whatever.
Exactly. Yeah. So I had to do that. As soon as I got off the beat, and I didn't have to see dumb rise and grind, I'm at the gym, selfies, I hated all that crap. I got rid of it immediately. In the same way that I'm very, very choosy with who I follow. Like right now, I think I follow probably around 245 people. Bryce Harper follows 24 people. So if you care about following as few amount of people as possible, when you follow a few of the Capitals that are your boys because you live in Washington, D.C., and you're around town or whatever,
right. You
could unfollow them if you're not going to be around anymore.
I'm not being dismissive. I just don't know how to read into it. Man, the other day, I think he posted a picture of himself with the hashtag top flight, which is what they called themselves in the Nationals outfield. Is that a sign? I can't do this. This is like, to me, going to the fortune teller. She's looking at tea leaves and trying to tell you what it means. Like, oh, this is a scythe, which actually means a harvest is coming, or you're decapitated, one or the other. I have no idea. I can't hypothesize at this point, because anything would be plausible enough to figure out.
Do you think that it's interesting that he unfollowed some of the Capitals?
It's curious.
So it's interesting?
It's, yeah.
Okay. That's about all I'm saying.
Yeah.
When I heard that, it raised my antenna, and I thought—
You got a radar?
He didn't do that last offseason,
right,
when he was about to come back to Washington, D.C. and was probably going to be at a Caps game or two. He didn't unfollow them before. Why unfollow them now? Wilson said a bunch of the guys got the unfollow. Now, maybe he went on some huge purge and he unfollowed a ton of people. But 24 is the number he's following. He's got about a million followers. And again, it stinks that this is a thing. This is where we are.
This is where we are.
But I don't know. Does everything matter? Does nothing matter? Like the other day he tweeted loading and everyone thought it meant he was about to make some announcement. And that just...
It was like about Fortnite.
It means that you're getting on Fortnite. And I guess most people didn't know that.
I mean, this to me is closer to his dog's name is Wrigley. He shaved that time than it is I'm holding a press conference tomorrow. You know what I mean? It's like...
Definitely.
This stuff feeding out of whatever this trough is, I have a very hard time ascribing meaning to it, I guess is my point.
Yeah, I'm not saying that this definitively means anything. What I am saying is that I have perceived that around Valentine's Day has been his target. I was told that that's about when he wanted to find a home all along. And within 3 days before Valentine's Day, he's starting to unfollow some of the athletes in Washington, D.C. I don't think that's nothing. I think that's a lot more than shaving your beard in the middle of the season. I think that's probably more than what you named your dog 5 years ago.
Yeah, a long time ago.
But at the same time, it's not a conclusion, and it doesn't mean he is not a Washington National, but it's certainly, I think, worth bringing up. 800-636-1067. We'll take your Bryce Harper calls next on G&D. We'll also get into Kyler Murray. If he's less than 5'9 and less than 200 pounds, you still able to draft him at number 15 if you're the Redskins? You're listening to The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Murray, in about 100 seconds, talk about the undersized Heisman Trophy winner who has chosen football over baseball.
A little quarterback, debating between two sports. So
we'll do that here on Grant and Danny. And Craig Hoffman will have some thoughts on the Skins potentially drafting Kyler Murray. Coming up bottom of the hour at 11:30. Drew is in D.C. on 106.7 The Fan. What's up, buddy?
Hey, fellas. How y'all doing?
What's up, Drew?
All right. I think, you know, with Bryce, I think he would have been more prone to come to the National. I think it has a lot to do with the manager because they have all the pieces in, you know, all the pieces in stock, you know, to make a good run for it. Because Trey Turner should be better this year. Rendon, you know, he's an all-star in itself. And they really tighten up their bullpen and pitching. But I think it has a lot to do with the manager because the manager made a lot of key mistakes last year being in his first go-around with the team, man. But I think otherwise than that, I think Philly is the front runner.
Makes a lot of sense to me. Megan, they've had an under-the-radar great offseason with or without Bryce Harper.
The Phillies you're talking
about. The Phillies have, yeah. The Phillies,
Gene Segura at shortstop was big.
I think that guy is going to torture the Nationals. I'm telling you right now. You will grow to hate him, but begrudgingly respect him. Oh, and by the way, JT Realmuto.
Realmuto as their catcher was an incredible addition. Best catcher in the sport. He will haunt this team for a few years. I did not like the contract they signed Andrew McCutchen to. They gave him 4 years and, I believe, $50 million,
yep,
which I thought was too much, to be honest with you, for what he's worth. I don't think it's terrible money. I think it was excessive by probably $7 to $10 million bucks maybe over those 4 years. However,
I agree with that.
He is a Nats killer.
Yes.
And if he continues to play against the Nationals like he did with Pittsburgh,
the
and he
tormentor.
Just plays them more often, you have him, you have Segura, you have Realmuto. I don't want to play the Phillies. I mean, they are going to be annoying. They're going to be right around high 80s, low 90s wins. Remember, they were only 2 games back of the Nationals last year.
I know.
Now, they were 10 off the pace of Atlanta at year's end. Washington finished 8 games out in the division. But they're a fit for more reasons just than at that ballpark he could hit 50 home runs. I mean, if I was Bryce Harper, I would be looking around going, where can I get that 5 in front of the home run column?
That's where.
Where can I become a legend with power counting statistics?
My can of corn flyouts to left field are wall scrapers.
Exactly.
And I could miss hit one down the right field line and still get it.
Let's get to Kyler Murray for a quick moment here. Murray is going to be at the NFL Combine, which is later this month. He is then going to have a pro day. He is then going to go through all of the pre-draft rigors, the meetings, the interviews, the chalk talk sessions with teams, the sit-downs with general managers at team complexes all over the country to try to move himself up the board from what is perceived right now to be around a mid-first-round pick into that top 10 mix. First question I've got for you before I even ask a hypothetical about the Redskins taking him. I sat in with the Junkies for a couple minutes today.
Mm-hmm.
End of their show, we were actually talking about Kareem Hunt signing with the Browns and how it compares or doesn't compare, in my opinion, to the Redskins going and getting Reuben Foster. But EB brought up Kyler Murray, and we were going back and forth on the QB. We both agree we love his game. EB's take is that Kyler Murray will not be available when the Redskins pick at 15, which is very possible. The way quarterbacks get overdrafted, and with the hype that's going to surround this guy and the intrigue about him, not just because of the Heisman Trophy, but his size and his skill set, you could see him going before 15. Do you think he's there if the Redskins don't move up?
No. I am, I don't want to say certain, because that obviously if he goes 11th, then I'm a jackass, but I'd be willing to bet that he goes top 10. Somebody's going to fall in love, because the positive attributes that we all know about, you look at the typical who's successful and who's not, the really smart people do this. Evan Silva had a breakdown of it. We look at some of the college numbers. That's assuming major program. Obviously, if you do this at D3, if you're at Amherst and beating up Williams, nobody cares. But if you're at a major college and you have certain analytical benchmarks, you're successful in the NFL. Now, you don't have anybody that's 5'9 doing it, because that's a self-selective sample size. But somebody's going to say, this caliber of athlete, this strong of an arm, these sabermetrics, for lack of a better term, we're not passing. Because if you're the GM that passed on this potential superstar, it's unforgivable, right? So somebody's going to do it. I don't think he gets out of the top 10.
I've thought all along, like, the 13 to 15 range is where he's going to go. So if he goes before the Redskins, I've been thinking maybe just a pick or two beforehand. But for whatever reason, Danny, when he sent that statement out and it became real,
mm-hmm.
I started to kind of have this epiphany of nothing else really matters anymore. In other words, the fact that he went in the top 10, the fact that he was multitasking with baseball, the fact that he was the property of the Oakland Athletics, the fact that they're going to do what they can to keep him playing baseball, teams are not going to care about that. They're going to care about his workout at his pro day. They're going to care about how he throws at the combine, or if he throws at the combine. They're going to care about what he says when he sits in their building. This pre-draft process is designed for athletes like Kyler Murray to look amazing. He's not going to in any way see his value diminish. It's only going to climb from here.
Yeah, it's not for the stiff, awkward guy that doesn't look good with his shirt off, who has great college game tape.
Right, and this moment, guy. This second, I really believe his value is the lowest it's going to be, because we're very much still thinking about the interview with Dan Patrick and the fact that as of a week and a half ago, we didn't know how much he cared about football compared to baseball, or if you know, his dream was to be a quarterback. And with all of that, he was already projected into the middle of the first round. Fast forward 6 weeks. How quickly do we forget about things?
I know.
We're already pretending like Harper doesn't have a chance to be a National or a Philly because the Giants were the last team to talk to him. This is what we do. We just scurry to the next thing.
Whatever the next thing is.
Someone yells. We go. We check out the remains. We look at it. And then someone says, another body over here. We all sprint as a collection of people with our pitchforks and our flames. And we look at that. And then someone yells, oh, it's over here. And we just follow around the wilderness looking at new bodies. A month from now, no one's going to remember Dan Patrick. No one's going to remember baseball. It's just going to be quarterback prospect. Now, the one thing that I'm curious about is how does he shake the size? And that brings me to the next big question, and maybe we can ask Craig Hoffman about this here at the bottom of the hour. At the combine, there is no hiding your height.
You cannot hide.
You can't stand. You can't wear Skechers, with the heels.
You can't put lead in your underpants, dude. They're going to know.
So if he shows up at the combine and he's listed 5'8 and a half, I mean, he's my height.
Mm-hmm.
He's my height as an NFL quarterback.
Yeah.
That shouldn't work. It's easier to work now than it used to be. And the height's less the problem, according to the experts, than the weight. We're talking about him. Maybe he ends up weighing in at 190. That'd probably be a good thing, I would think, at the combine.
Yep.
But what if his weight's in the 180s? I heard Mike Florio on with Chad. This must have been on Friday, I think, on Chad Dukes versus the World. Florio told Dukes that while at Radio Row, the way it works is, you're a show like Florio,
You kind of just have guys that are asking to come on with you on your national platform. We go there, and we'll get killer guests as well, but Dar is hoofing it, and sweating and running around trying to get your wranglers to bring people over. When you show up and you're one of the big TV shows like NBC Sports with the Florio outfit, you just have an awesome set, and the Kyler Murray, Russell Wilson types, they all want to come on your show.
Yeah, the CBS Sports Network, you just sit down and guys come talk to Tiki and Tierney.
And essentially, what Florio told Chad was that Wilson and Murray were on the show on the same day, and I think within a couple segments. So they had them both there.
Mm-hmm.
There was a knock. I remember being at the Senior Bowl with Russell Wilson the year that the Redskins coaches coached in the game.
Right.
And I remember standing next to him going, this guy is so small. Now, that said, his calves were huge. His body was big. But he was short.
I mean, he looked like a big league baseball player.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? With like the tree trunk legs and squat. Yeah. Like a Jeff Bagwell type body.
Florio's point was Wilson is huge compared to Kyler Murray. In terms of build, like Kyler Murray looks like a child, he basically said. He's like, he looks like my nephew's friend from young high school. It's not just the height. Everyone's talking about the height. This is a body thing as well. Taking shots, taking hits. He runs a sub 4.440. He's not a run-first quarterback by any means. I love him in the pocket. I think he makes all the throws. But he does like to run, as you saw with his numbers last year. It takes one shot on that frame, and you
can
be cooked.
The thing that I value so much now is I think there's so many guys that when it's 72 and sunny, you get your first read, you throw it, you can deliver it on time. I think there's a limited number of people among the general population who can do that, but among NFL-caliber quarterbacks, that's the prerequisite. Can you do what, you know, can you do that? Okay, the safeties does this, the middle linebacker, the Mike linebacker does this, so the ball comes out on time to the tight end in this window. Fine, or this receiver or whatever, right? A lot of guys can do that. To me, it's the next level. It's some guys are, I'm going to get to my third or fourth progression very quickly with my eyes. Others are, if that thing ain't there, what do I do now? That's what separates the guys that are just Jags from potential stars. He can do it in a different way than, say, Tom Brady. He can do it a different way than, say, Matt Ryan. The way he's going to do it is to evade contact, scramble around, put defenses on their heels. I value that in a third and 10 type scenario when games are on the line. Everybody looks at the kind of, you know, can you drop back and hit a guy in stride? Well, that's cute. That's adorable. That's awesome. That's not what the NFL is an awful lot. It comes down to those, do you have a playmaking gene? Can you be special? And he can.
Redskins beat reporter Craig Hoffman. How much interest will they have in Murray at 15? And what would he have to do to convince them he is going to take the NFL, not just seriously, but as the end-all be-all, even with baseball on the back burner? Grant and Danny on the Fan.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.
Our Redskins beat reporter is Craig Hoffman. He'll be on the show coming up in just a moment. Our double play today at 11:45, what's going on in our life? It has nothing to do with sports. I've got a story about a mom that may have gone overboard in trying to get her son a date. Let's just say authorities were looking for her.
Oh.
Yeah, so I'll tell you about that coming up in our double play. You'll want to hear that at 11:45. Craig Hoffman is on the Mattress Warehouse hotline. Craig, do you think Kyler Murray will be available for the Redskins when they pick at 15?
I don't. I think that's – I honestly think he's going to wind up being a top 10 pick. I think that his skill set, as you guys were just talking about, is – it's designed to skyrocket his draft stock this time of year. He's going to go to Indy. He's going to run probably, definitely sub 4.5, probably sub 4.4. He's going to do it again in his pro day. If he throws, it's going to be impressive. They'll put together a throwing program for his pro day that's going to be impressive. It can showcase all of the off platform type of things he can do, and not to mention the in rhythm typical stuff that you want to see out of an NFL quarterback. And then you add in the fact that his tapes are really good. And the more scouts, and especially at this time of year, coaches watch his tape, his stock is going to go up. I think the biggest hindrance to him is going to be his interviews. This is the hole he now has to dig out of after last week, but ultimately it's a hole he can dig out of. There was no irreversible damage done with the interviews from last week. So if he can go in and really impress people in person, all it takes is one team, and there's 14 in front of the Redskins, and another 10 maybe behind him that could trade up in front of them at 15.
Craig, one of the dozens of reasons that I don't want the Redskins to do this, and I will tell you this up front, Grant has dismissed my theory on this like a judge overruling an objection on a Law and Order episode. I think the marriage between Kyler Murray and Jay Gruden would be doomed and disastrous from the start. There's nothing that Kyler Murray brings to the table that Jay's like, oh yeah, I want to go shopping for that. It would require massive adjustments and sort of changing of philosophies and the like. I think it's a terrible idea and a bad fit. What about that?
I think it depends on how much influence they allow O'Connell to have over the look of the offense. Like, is Kevin implementing Jay's offense and playing translator? Is he kind of pushing a couple of spread kind of concepts in there to expand on what is still a West Coast-based scheme? Or does Jay go, all right, we know some of the route concepts that we really like. There's stuff that I still want to call and run, but ultimately, like, let's make him comfortable. I think from an attribute standpoint, I think he'd be fine. Like, Kirk was undersized, quote-unquote. Colt McCoy is undersized, and Jay obviously was okay with Kirk and really likes Colt. Even though Alex is bigger in terms of stature, he obviously is a mobile type of guy and Jay was okay with that. So like the mobility and like this idea that he just needs a drop back passer, that's not what concerns me. It's more of the, can he make the full field reads and things like that? And you know what? I have to do more research on Murray before I say that I'm completely convinced that he can't do that, because Baker Mayfield came into the league and did a lot of that stuff. And he's coming from a similar system in Oklahoma, where Lincoln Riley has NFL coaches coming like Norman is some mecca of football to visit. So I have to really get a better read on what scouts think of his ability to read the field. I think there could be some merit to what you're saying, but I think we might be underrating him as just a spread guy when Oklahoma has some more stuff in their offense that might have prepared him better than other spread guys have been for the NFL.
Craig Hoffman on Grant and Danny. Nothing you said about Cousins or McCoy's size was wrong, but it is amazing to think about. Now, at one point, there was a question about Cousins' size.
Remember that?
He's 6 inches taller than Kyler Murray and 20 pounds heavier.
Man,
I mean, we just haven't seen a guy other than maybe Doug Flutie thrive in the league at the size that Murray is going to try to. The league has obviously changed a whole lot. Craig, what would you make about the Skins moving up? Let's say you're right, and it's going to take a top 10 pick to draft the Heisman Trophy winner from Oklahoma. And the Redskins know that at number 9, that's kind of the sweet spot. They can move up 6 picks, which would take a lot, and he's their guy. Would they be willing, do you think, to do that, knowing the class is as good as it is next year, knowing they have as many needs as they do, but also knowing that they are desperate for somebody who can invigorate some juice to this fan base?
Right, and that's the part that makes me wonder is, does ownership come down and if he starts to fall and say, go get him, I don't care what it takes, then I would think that the whole Robert Griffin experience would keep that at bay for a lot longer than it might have without having gone through that experience. But, you know, Kyler Murray is the guy that has the most pop and pizzazz and star power in this draft. He's going to put butts in the seats. And ultimately, like, it's okay to take those things into consideration as long as the football people aren't telling you he's going to be a complete bust. And so I think that they, you know, at 9, let's say, that's probably still going to cost you a lot. I don't know that they're going to be willing to do that. I would certainly think that the football wing and especially the college wing of the operation is going to be saying, no. Like, let's take some extra shots and keep our draft picks. But you're in a situation where you have a head coach that knows he's coaching for his job. You have an executive in Bruce Allen who, as much as any point in his tenure, is going like, hey, I need to perform for my job, even if he seems to be bulletproof. So there's just a lot of factors that point to a potentially desperate move from the outside. But you also have to think of how they view themselves inside, which I don't think they see as desperate. It also is going to depend on where we are with Alex at that point. If he looks like he's never coming back, that changes the equation versus, you know, maybe he'll be ready. You know, we still don't know at this point. And so my lean right now is that they wouldn't be willing to give up what it would take to move up into the top 10. But that doesn't mean they wouldn't move up to, say, 12 if it just costs them a future first or whatever it may be. I think there is a price they'd be willing to pay. I'm not really locked in yet to what that price is going to be. And I think that there's other outside factors, including the health of Alex Smith, that are going to determine what they're willing to pay.
At Craig Hoffman on Twitter. Craig, what's the latest with the news on Jack Gruden, arrested at One Loudoun, drunk in public? Sounds like he was, you know, verbal altercation. I don't know how big a deal it is, but what's the team saying and what do we know?
Yeah, they haven't said much yet. They basically said they're gathering information. Three different people in three different incidents where he's yelling at people and the cops told him to stop. And, you know, he went back at someone else and they told him to stop. And it was a three strikes, you're out type of thing, I guess, is what the police report sounds like. There's not really, unfortunately, much more information than what we have yesterday. Obviously, the fact that he's Jay's son is going to help, you know, on some level affect the relationship. I don't know whether that means Jay goes, hey, I can't be having people look at this thinking it's nepotism. Sorry, kid. You know, we'll get you hooked up with your uncle, or whatever it is. Or it could just be like, he's my son. You know, I know he's a good kid and I'm going to keep him around. I have no idea what the path is for.
Craig,
can
you give us some insight though? I see him everywhere. He's on the staff. I know that he's listed on the website. He's wearing Redskins gear. He's next to his dad. He's friends with a lot of the players and dapping them up. What does he actually do?
So during practice, you know, he's doing video work. I mean, he's a video assistant, just as if anyone else was a video assistant. Outside of the relationship element, obviously, but even though, you know, a lot of lower level assistants are tight with players a lot. They're a good go between, you know, the coaching staff and the top of the coaching staff and the players often, because they're younger guys, they can relate easier to the players. And obviously Jack at 22 can do that kind of stuff. And it doesn't help that his dad's the head coach. So he can probably give a little bit of insight to some of these players and how dad's thinking in a way that other video assistants might not, but he really does do the video work, you know, that any other assistant would do. So that's during practice, holding cameras and operating cameras to be able to capture footage that they go back and watch. And then there's a lot of editing work that winds up, you know, making the cut-ups that the coaches are then going to use in the meetings and players are going to use in the meetings, things like that.
Craig, thank you as always, buddy. Enjoy the day.
You got it. See you guys.
See you, my friend.
Our Redskins beat reporter, Craig Hoffman, on Grant and Danny. Your update on what's going on out in Ashburn. Double play is next. What's going on in our lives? Nothing to do with sports. What do you got?
I have a reflective experience about what I enjoy now. And it's not what I enjoyed 20 years ago, but it's what I enjoy now.
And I've got a crazy mom who almost got in trouble trying to get her son a date. Next on The Fan.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Hey, before we get to the double play, do you want to pass along an update? We were talking about Bryce Harper in our first hour today and the fact that the San Francisco Giants have emerged as a player for him. In fact, some odds makers are saying they're the favorite to get him. You and I have kind of stuck with Philadelphia as the most likely team to land him. Bob Nightingale, who has had all kinds of updates on Harper all offseason, and I would say, I think you'll agree with me, he's been zigging when other people are zagging. Like, he
I agree with that, yeah.
Basically been doing almost, not quite a different bit, but Bob Nightingale of USA Today Sports has had different information than a lot of other reporters have had at different times. He says the Giants' plan is to offer Harper, meaning maybe they haven't yet, but they're going to, a 5 or a 6 year deal around $30 million per year. So that's essentially the same AAV that the Nats made the offer for Harper for.
But that's shorter term.
I think if you're going to get him on the short term, and there's no way he would do it anyway at 4 or 5 years, but if you're going to get him at 5 or 6, it's going to have to be closer to $35 million to even have him listen. Because at that point now, he's setting a record for annual average value that's not going to be broken right away for the next couple of years. He's got to feel like he won in some way and got a record amount of money. But again, Nightingale is saying the Giants want to get a 5 or 6 year deal done with Harper around $30 million a year. John Heyman is saying that Harper has no interest in a short-term deal, that he's not going to accept anything less than the 10 years, kind of the 9 years.
That's always been my
eight.
Instinct, is that.
Exactly. So here we are. If you think the Giants are a player, then you better hope that Nightingale's off base and they actually are going to offer 8 to 10 and not 5 or 6.
Yeah, they're going to add some years. I mean, I think what it's going to come down to, it may be 10 in name only, right? They're going to be opt-outs. I mean, think of Strasburg's deal. Oh, it's whatever it was, 7 or 8 and 175. Well, their exit ramps throughout for the player. Now, I imagine Strasburg's not going to take a lot of those because of his injury history, but that was there. For Harper, I think it's going to be the next CBA gets done. Was it 2021? I guess we're all gearing towards. Maybe then when salaries reset or there's a salary floor or something, maybe then he gets stopped out a couple years into that after more markets have been set.
But you're saying the off-ramps are player off-ramps, you said?
That's my guess.
I could see it.
That's my guess. These are sweeteners to entice the player. So if one offers 325, one offers 317, but there are more exits, more player control, more no trade, more whatever, maybe that gets it done.
It's time for our double play. What's going on in our lives? Nothing to do with sports. 12 minutes from now, all the teams you care about in town updated in your Beltway Blitz. Towson University Police warn of a woman on the loose looking for a date for her son. This is not from The Onion. Towson University via the Baltimore Sun. Police officers have been asking students and staff to be on the lookout for a woman in her 50s wearing a multicolored scarf. She apparently was wandering around looking for a date for her son. Students complained to officers that she was approaching them last week in two campus buildings, the Cook Library and the Center for the Arts, showing them a picture on her cell phone of her kid, asking if these girls were interested in dating her son. It caused enough of a disturbance that cops alerted students via a incident advisory, which they go into when something amiss is happening on campus.
Wow. Like, hey, be careful. There's exactly a serious thing. Stay in your room.
There's a lady that's being really weird. So they sent that out and included a link to surveillance footage of the woman wandering around with her phone talking to these students, these co-eds. They asked anyone with information about the lady to call University Police 410 number. University officials said the woman is not going to be under any kind of investigation of a charge. She's not being sought for any criminal investigation, but simply they'd like to talk to her to put a behavior behind her and to basically stop what she's doing, that they don't want her to continue hassling the students.
Can you imagine the level this must have gotten to where it became a public disturbance? Right? Because if she just walks into a common area going, would you date my son? Look at my son. This is my son. That's nothing. It's 5 minutes. And then she goes home. The idea that she must have talked to dozens and dozens of people and harassed them to the point that university police have to get involved, right?
I'm looking at the picture. Here's the lady right here. She just looks like somebody's mom. She's got glasses. She's wearing what looks like a mom jacket.
It's a very mom jacket.
Arm.
Yeah.
She's got a sweater on with a scarf and mom jeans.
Non-flattering mom jeans.
And brown shoes. Mm-hmm. And she said, the Towson University Police Department is asking for the community's help to identify this person shown below. This person may frequent Cook Library and Center for the Arts. Can you imagine if this was your mom?
No.
Can you imagine? No. Your buddies are like, dude, isn't that Susie in that picture over there? What do you mean? Like, look, your mom's, they want your mom. She's been in the library. And then you find out.
Imagine.
I guess she's like worried that you're not dating anyone, or maybe she's sad that you're sad that you're single, or I don't know what started this. Here's a quote. This incident advisory is being provided in order to help make the TU community aware of an incident campus that may cause concern, the chief of the University Police Department wrote in an email. This advisory is intended to heighten awareness and inform the community of incidents that may impact their safety or security.
What if, hypothermically speaking, one of the girls goes, yeah, I'm in. I wouldn't want anybody to be a member of the club if they're willing to be a member of that club. Groucho Marx style. Does that make sense? If a girl says yes based off a cell phone picture and a mom approaching me in a common area,
something ain't right.
There's something wrong with her, too.
This reminds me of a really, really funny moment. Mother's Day, probably 6 or 7 years ago, me and my brother are doing gardening for my mom. My brother and I, this was pre-EMP for me, down 70, and my brother down almost 100. And we're like shoveling out dirt and like, you know, just doing all kinds of disgusting yard work.
Sure, of course.
And we're outside, and it's 100 degrees, and it's, you know, late May or whenever Mother's Day is, I don't know. And we're doing all this gardening, and my brother and I are standing there. We're like taking a break, drinking some water. And he looks across the yard, and there's like this reflection on like a glass door of himself. And he like looks up at the sky, and he goes, "I wouldn't sleep with someone who would sleep with me." And I just thought, he said other words, by the way.
Yeah.
I'll clean it up for radio.
What a line.
And he was looking at his gross gut and sweaty body in the
mirror. Look at how disgusting I am.
And he said, "I wouldn't bleep someone who would bleep me." You know, that's basically what he said. Hilarious.
Every dude has had one of those moments, by the way.
Exactly. So I so funny, and you're so down on yourself, right? But it was just a great moment. Reminds me of, I wouldn't date someone who would tell my mom they'd date me when she showed him the phone in the library.
That's where I'm at on that. That's the most important part of all this. Well, no, the most important part of all this is that somebody's mom is out there like trying to pimp him out, trying to get that guy some action.
What do you think led to that? How?
A fight at home. I guarantee you it's like, why don't you settle down? Why don't you have a girlfriend? It's like, I don't know, Mom. I don't know. The girls don't like me.
They don't like me.
And then she's like, I'll take it upon myself. I'll fix this.
Because I'm a good-looking guy, Danny.
Yeah, I'm sure she's
girls
a treat.
Girls would love you.
Yeah, I'm sure she's a treat otherwise. Maintenance on his life.
I don't think she's overbearing in the least.
Do you think that the mom always tells the son, you know, you're just big boned, you're not overweight.
Right.
Any girl would be lucky to have you.
100%.
You don't have a receding hairline. It's not like I'm borrowing from my personal life at all.
That's funny. So the kid, the first time, probably when he's like, Mom, what's the best way to get a girl's attention? And then she said the stupid thing that adults say, just be yourself. Never be yourself. You suck. Everybody sucks. Don't be yourself. Find a way to represent yourself better than you are. Let them find out how terrible you are after enough time where they're committed and it's awkward for them to break up with you.
Where they've become a fan of yours already and they can accept your flaws.
They are not dating you, they're dating your representative for as long as you can possibly hold up that charade.
You got something quick you want to squeeze in here, Danny?
I'll do a quick... thank you. Quick Danny Ruye show review. The Marvelous Miss Maisel Amazon Prime, rather. Hard pass. This is a show.
It won all the awards, by the way.
This is a reminder that you shouldn't watch award shows, that they are disconnected from everybody else. The people that like this, people like my wife, think it's awesome because it's kind of filmed like a musical. The plotline's actually kind of interesting. It's a unique show. Housewife of the 1950s, her husband walks out on her, so she takes up stand-up comedy in kind of a very New York sort of time. And they're in New York. And it's interesting because she like faces censorship and other stuff. It is not particularly good. So I would skip it, see if you can convince your lady or your wife to kind of steer in a different direction. It won all the awards, so my wife was fascinated by it. So now we're kind of stuck in it. I can't wait till it's over and get back to some Danny Ruye Netflix time. That's where I'm at.
It's a good review. You don't often just tell us absolutely don't watch something.
Hard pass.
That is your Beltway Blitz. We do it every day at 11:45. At 12:18, Bryce Harper sweepstakes winding down, plus John Clayton in the NFL has 10 offseason predictions. We'll get into those things. You know what else we got to do today? Sometime next hour, maybe. We can crowbar this in. We'll have to just find a way. I don't care when it happens, we got to do it. A guy on Fox News, who's apparently a regular TV contributor, I don't know anything about him, he said on TV he hasn't washed his hands in 10 years.
Oh.
I'd love to talk about that and talk about just habits of washing your hands. Got to do that. Grant and Danny on the Fan.
Guys, here's something else you got to do. Go see my pals at Ted Britt Ford. I don't know what Ted Britt Ford is. That would be a different dealership, I'll tell you that. Ted Britt Ford is the place you got to go. Experience love at first drive all month long at Ted Britt Ford in Fairfax and Chantilly. How about some of these deals? 2018 Ford EcoSport. For as little as $179 per month. Or speaking of trimming a little bit, 0% APR for 60 months when you buy. Drive a new 2019 Ford Escape for just $239 per month. Yeah, I know it was inappropriate. Or Explorer for as low as $349 per month. Get up to $6,000 off the MSRP on a new 2018 Ford Mustang GT. And every day, this is on the Tom Daly, you show up, you get 120% Kelley Blue Book value for your trade-in. And when you buy from Ted Britt Ford, a little something called Ted Britt for Life comes with that. Here's what it means. All the things that come with the car. Powertrain, service loaners, battery replacement, windshield repair, nitro tire fill, complimentary Virginia State inspection, all for life. Not just for a limited time only, not for a couple months, not for this number of miles, for life. You gotta go see them. Let them take care of you the way they've taken care of me. Start that attention to quickwaystepper.com. Go see them and tell them.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.